All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Greet your neighbors. Tell the person, God bless you. Now, bless the person well, not just tell the person, this is your white senator looking nice. Amen. The Lord is good. All right, let's open our Bibles and take the declaration of the glory of the Lord. We'll open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. For those who don't know, we always do that when we meet, especially on Saturdays. First thing we do is to declare the glory of the Lord. All right, are you there? We're going to read out from verse 6 and end in verse 16. All right, Jeremiah chapter 6. Chapter 10, sorry. Thank you. We're going to read from verse 6 and let's declare like we're declaring the honor of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So I expect all of us to be up on our feet and reading out loud. One, two, let's go. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are all together stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is a living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is good, oh.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Father, we worship you again this morning. We kiss the Son. We kiss the Lord Jesus Christ. We bow to him. We bow to Jesus. We acknowledge that he's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. We live for him, him that died for us and rose again on our behalf. Lord Jesus, we love you. Father, we love you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for hope. Thank you for hope. Thank you for loving us and putting your love in our hearts. This morning we come to you to receive insight. We come to drink of your spirit. We come to drink of your substance, to be transformed into your image. We know you have prepared something special for us. And because of that, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Alright, the Lord is good. Alright, let's start this morning from the book of Matthew. Again, chapter 5. Read Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes which we know. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He said, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now let's just read this one again. Isaiah chapter 56. Let me just read that one, add to it. Just pick a few verses from verse 1 also. This is what the Lord says. Be just and fair to all. Do what is right and good. For I'm coming soon to rescue you and to display my righteousness among you. Blessed are all those who are careful to do this. Blessed are those who honor my Sabbath days of rest and keep themselves from doing wrong. And I'll just stop reading there, all right? There's one particular verse I want to read. Let me see, that will be around verse 7. Okay, verse 4. Let me just read up to verse 4. Where did I stop now? Verse 2, right? Let me just read up to verse 4. So verse 3 says, don't let the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, the Lord will never let me be part of his people. And don't let the eunuchs say, I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future. For this is what the Lord says, I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me. Now that's why I'm reading this. That's the line I wanted. Who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. Let me stop reading here. That is, God blesses those who make choices. And when they are making their choices, they are careful to be sure that the choice or the choices they are making are pleasing to the Lord. We have been looking at this defense in precepts subject. And I want to go on today to explain something I began like 2 meetings ago on this subject. All right. For that sake, I think there's a particular portion of the scriptures I would have loved to. Anyway, we'll get to it in a moment. Yeah, I think that's very important also, but we'll read it. All right. That's from, let me just quote it briefly. Deuteronomy chapter 10. He said, now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then John said it this way. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And listen to this very key sentence. He said, his commandments are not burdensome. Please bear that in mind. His commandments are not what? Burdensome. They are not burdensome. King James, he said, they are not grievous. They are not difficult. And that's what I want to emphasize today. That's actually my main teaching for today. The fact that his commandments are not burdensome. They are not difficult. They are not difficult. Please listen to that carefully. Doing that which pleases God is not a hard thing. I saw a young man once. As far as I was concerned, between their church and his mother, they ran him mental. Legalism kills. Legalism will destroy you. He has issues sometimes. This young man will come to talk to me. And he told me something. He was totally mentally imbalanced. Now, he told me something, that if he goes to talk to his mother, I think his father was late or something. The mother will ask him how many souls he had won that day. This guy lived in perpetual guilt of which kind of thoughts went through his mind, which soul he won or did not win for the Lord. I couldn't tell him that. That's why you are not mentally balanced. This guilt is destroying you. One of our sisters grew up in a particular church. And one day I was saying to her, why did you leave the church? I remember the words she used.
She said, those people tortured me. Said, worshiping with them, she grew up there. Said, it was torture. Yes. And she just said it spontaneously. When I was sitting in the room, just talking. So why did you leave? Said, as soon as she had the opportunity. Of course, university was her opportunity. She grew up, her parents were in the church, there were elders there. She said, as soon as she had the opportunity, she didn't step near them at all. I said, why? He said, those people tortured me. And what does she call torture? It's the same thing, guilt. Everything you do is wrong. You put your foot this way, the Lord didn't want you to put... In fact, we have one saying in Western Nigeria. I don't know whether it's national, but at least I learned it in Yoruba. They said, turn your foot to one side, don't kill that ant. That is when you are walking, check which ant you are killing. That ant is also a creature of God like you. Where's my sis? You don't know that one? Olayinka, do you know it? You should know it. Who did you learn in primary school? You don't know it. That don't kill that ant. People, you know, like a chant in some schools. I don't know where they got it from, but children learned it, not to kill ants. Some people's Christianity is grievous. Difficult. You know, one of our brothers, one of the reasons why he loves me, he said, I delivered him. Now, this will sound fun. Some people won't like it, but let me just say it. He said, before he met me, he was a walking calculator. They told him, and I've heard those teachings too, that you have to pay the whole tithe. Have you heard that thing before? Now, this interpretation I want to say to you is not only on scriptural, it's wicked. There are some of you, it's only when they pay your salary, you bring a tithe. The whole tithe is everything you get. It's your best day. They bring gifts. You have to tithe on the gifts. Please let me say this to you. It is absolute nonsense and it's wickedness. You can't treat the children of God like that. That brother said he was a walking calculator. He told me, these were his words. He said, sir, I was a walking calculator. Then somebody gave me a lift. As a student, he's going to school. His father gave him money. He's supposed to go public transport. Then he asked his father's friend. And that one said, where are you going? I'm going to school. Enter, let me carry you. He will cost it. I was supposed to pay 200 naira between my house and University of Nigeria Enugu campus. So he would write it that he's owing God 20 naira. If you behave like that, you can't go to heaven. Because your guilt, once you see the proverbial St. Peter at the gate, your knees will start knocking. Peter will know, I know you have committed. The way your guilt will not let you rest. The commandments of God are not that burdensome. They are not that burdensome. They are not burdensome. They are not that difficult. Before you pray, you scan your life. Could I have done anything wrong in the last 5 days? That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. This young man, incidentally, he and that our sister, the one I was telling you about, the two of them went to the same church. Not the same branch, but the same denomination. I'm sorry to say that. I don't mean, you can guess what I'm talking about. I don't know. It's your problem, not mine. Are you getting my point? I didn't mention names. The funny thing about that denomination is that I found people there, usually, averagely, very wicked people. In fact, our sister said that the woman in charge of the children's church, because her brother didn't do his homework, pinched him till he bled. Now, in case you don't know, that's demonic. It's demonic. I had a teacher in school, when I was in secondary school. Thank God that he loves us, and one way or the other, we just love his word, whichever way. I look back, if I had to follow an example, I would never have gone to church if Idama was the example. But funny enough, I look back and I wonder, why did we still do what we did? You know, it must have been God. You know why? He taught us the word of God, so we feared those words. But him, you could not like. First, he was the worst dressed human being this world has ever seen after John the Baptist. His clothes were dirty. He didn't used to have a bath regularly. There's a reason why I'm certain about that. I've never put that part into the description. But that's not my gist. If you want to look like this world is your body, Otoka is your, except that I can't remember him forgiving one time. He forgave nothing. As a student, you couldn't offend him. He never forgave. Whether it was discipline he was trying to do. In fact, I remember one thing he did once. It was when police showed up in our school that he knew he was in trouble. He falsely accused our senior prefect of stealing yam sets from the school garden. And the boy tried, and now, he was our senior prefect, number one. We all know, you know, there are people you just know. That guy could not kill an ant. Not to talk about yam set. He He tried to explain. All of us were like, sir, this is not possible. He dragged the boy to the school principal, said the boy stole. The principal flogged him on the assembly ground. I remember the boy took, the boy took it very coolly. As soon as they were done, he got up and went home. Next time we saw he was with policemen. His parents and policemen were there. They came to arrest the teacher. I remember he was trembling. He spoke in Yoruba, they said, I'm not Leo. Like, I didn't hear that. I can't forget his voice. That these children are difficult. That this, they are mean. That's what he said. In our mind. Next thing we saw his parents, they were in school with him, and the policeman, they were in the principal's office. The father said, lie, I know my school. I gave him this thing this morning. I gave it to him. So, not you called him a thief falsely, then you punished him openly. No, the guy said, no. Now, police matter. The guy came to school with policeman, with one policeman. I don't know whether it was more than, but I saw him and one. In the principal's office. This guy's class, staff was near our class. He was literally trembling. He was shaking like this. He wasn't listening to his colleagues. Where am I going? I never saw him forgive one day. One day he beat me in a funny way. For nothing more than, you know, before school starts, before classes will start, you know. After assembly, you know, it's a big school. Everybody go to your classes. I mean, each class had like four arms, you know. Playing big school now. Mission school. So, some of us just do things like that. Before everybody settles, you start teaching nobody in class. All right, so the Y, the X, nobody's in class. They're just walking in. You know, this guy beat me. That why am I behaving like a teacher? That I should know the position teachers are supposed to hold. I'm like, oh God, the man was weak. I'm weak. In case you don't know, I left secondary school in 1984. Let me not tell those who have been born to put up their hands. Even this tall reverend that I'm looking at, they say, oh God, no, I know this one. Okay. Your laughter was loud now. That's how I wanted to be sure that you were even there that time. Why am I describing him like this? He was legalistic. He was our Bible teacher. I will still go to him just to see the peace of God. You go. And I say again, his commandments are not burdensome. See, if you love the Lord, you will find out that his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments will only appear burdensome when you don't love the Lord, when you want to follow the world. That's it. His commandments are not burdensome. Now, I used to say this as a joke. That if God says, guys, I've revised the commandment. All you men, you can now marry two wives. So, Banky, how far? I'll say, give my own to Kemuti. Maybe ask him. You know, he'd be Niger Delta boy. Maybe. I came to look and said, no, Pastor, no, thank you, but no thanks. Why? His commandments are not burdensome. We have found out by walking with God that unless you really are of the flesh, what are you looking for? There are many things that God's people don't do. We know it's not good. We have learned that. Please, I need to emphasize it. That's why I told the brother said to me that, he says, sir, you delivered me. I said, so this is how you were walking around, burdened. And many pastors loved it because they thought wrongly that increased the amount of money people brought to church, which unfortunately is not true. It's not true. You will have to every day be beating people over the head before you get that money. You have to lie. And that's why weak pastors sometimes will now concoct up stories that maybe you were covenanted when you were born to some foreign gods, and those gods are now looking for their sacrifice. But because I started going to church, I feel like telling the pastor, say, did you hear yourself? Is that I went to church or I gave my life to Christ? That now you need to pay those gods. As you know, cannot go to the shrine. So you come to church. Am I only okay? So did they come to church to ask? No, some people, I don't think they believe in God. Because they are lodged, the love of money. One of my sisters was in that congregation that day. And if you see the name of the church, you'll be shocked. If I told you the name. That you will fall out of your seat. I'm telling you, you will fall out of your seat. My sister called me from there this Sunday. Pastor Banky, I said, what is going on? She said, I don't understand. This was happening in my church this morning. I went to one of their pastors in Enugu here to go and report the matter. Yeah. It's a big denomination. I went to one of their pastors here. I said, no. This is wrong. I called the guys. I happen to be a friend. I said, please, look at this. It happened. Don't you guys have oversight about these things? How can somebody preach this on a Sunday morning in one of your branches, in one of the big cities? Is that how much we love money or how much we are that ignorant. That guy, I doubt that guy is born again. No, I doubt. No, pastors can be promoted who don't know God. I seriously doubt that that pastor is born again. To preach that kind of thing on a Sunday morning in church. What did he want? It's the money. The cow money, the goat money. Maybe I should have gone to him and said, sir, I won't bring the thing that my father told me they covenanted. I'm going to bring two rats and give to him. Some gods collect rats. I'll bring rats and alligator pepper. And the tail of his squirrel. I don't know about Eastern Nigeria, but in Western Nigeria, there are markets where they sell things like that. Things that they use for... I used to wonder what they did. You see tail of squirrel hanging. Somebody's selling it. In case of Allah, will prescribe it for you. I forgot to buy everything. Pastor, take. Foolish man. His commandments are not burdensome. Not burdensome. Let me say it clearly. There's nothing like that whole tight story. It's a lie. Whoever is preaching that does not know the scriptures. They're just purely deceptive. He's just trying to deceive the people of God. There's nothing like that. Some will even tell you things like, you know, you can't pay government before you pay God. So you're supposed to calculate your tithe before tax. Which God are you serving? Federal government of heaven. Who depends on your tax to sustain itself? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, how did we get to that level? Anyway, that's what happened when you just start on the wrong path. Start saying things that God did not say. You will get there. Arguments now come among pastors. That no, it's not so. Some pastors say no. Well, like, no. That it is what you see, you tithe on. Say no. Government has taken its portion. You can't pay government before you pay God. And you see Christians again, they start calculating. I told the story of one lady that wrote us a letter that, please, so what should she do? In her church, the pastor said, January salary is first fruit. Now, I'll say it to you clearly. That thing also is not scripture. If you are doing it, you can do anything you like. You know it's your money. Is it my money? If you put your money in the bullion van, is it my problem? It's not my money. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not telling you what to do with your money. But did God say, bring me your whole January salary to church as first fruits? He never said it. It's something we modern Nigeria, they don't do that. The rest of the world, first salary is 1 week. If you go to America, it's 1 week. So they don't preach that nonsense because it doesn't pay. We preach it in Nigeria because the money is heavy. But let me go on record that thing is not scripture. It's a revenue collecting method for churches in Nigeria. It is not the Bible. If you decide you want to take your whole January salary and give to Pastor Dami, God will bless you for it. If you decide you want to take your whole February salary and give to Pastor Okemute, God will give you another blessing. And if you not give me the whole of March salary, I will add blessing to it too. But it's just the three of us. It's not scripture. It's the way you like it. I will pray. How can you give me a whole salary, more salary? I won't pray for you. Am I crazy? I will pray for you. But I will pray for you for your generous heart. I will pray for you for thinking about me. But I will never tell you, not that you have fulfilled what God said, by bringing please, I don't want problem for my soul. I love my wife. I love my children. I don't want trouble for my soul. I cannot add to his word. If anybody tells you whole January salary belongs to God because it's first fruit, he has added to the word of God. I'm not preaching on that, so I will not sit on it. But why am I saying it? I just want Christians to have a reference. Because sometimes, you know, when they respect us so much, we say things, they don't even know what to do. One day, one sister came to me long ago in Kingdom World here. She asked me some questions. And I said, look, you are asking the wrong person. When I say wrong person, now is that I don't believe these things you have said. It had to do with this tithe matter, how to calculate or no calculate tithe. Maybe this, whether it's a whole tithe or she can pay government before she pays the God and all of that. And I said, look, my dear sister, is this whole thing, I was trying to explain, I just relax. You know what she said, remember? You pastors should please try not to be confusing us. And I told her, I'm not the one. You were confused before you came here. I'm trying to solve your confusion. But where I'm going is, I see, that is what we do to people. She was like, one guy wrote a letter, wrote one story, what one man said here, in one book, and I said, so what should I do? I said, why don't you write the people that wrote the book? Did you see my name on the book? So sometimes I understand what Jesus meant when the Bible says concerning him, that I looked at them and he had pity and compassion because they were like sheep without shepherds. Because what we have now are shepherds that don't even know the Lord and they are confusing people who are trying to serve the Lord. I think it's very sad. No, really, I feel very bad. Because some people genuinely, they want to do what is right. And they come to a man who wants to milk them. You know what you are saying is not true. You have never even bothered to research. People have had arguments with me. How do I want church to get money? I'm like, is that the discussion? Is that the discussion? Is the discussion not supposed to be whether this is true or for or not? Are we not supposed to be discussing that? Is this what the Bible prescribes or doesn't prescribe? I've heard this thing again and again. If they were supposed to do what I'm saying, how would the church get money? I'm like, excuse me. One brother told me that there's a church, he goes, not in Enugu here. So he was having a discussion with the pastor that, look, this and this and this. He now quoted some things that I said. You know what that one said to him? He said, Pastor Bank is only saying it because he's a doctor. So he has money. No, he has money. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I told the guy, at least he has confessed. He's only saying it because he's poor. So let's leave it. There's no need to argue. Without realizing it, he has confessed that I'm only preaching this because I'm broke. So go ahead. You know, people, they indict themselves not knowing. That sister that day, she said, talking about the commandments of God, she said that January, end of January, she carried her salary to church. 1 year, assuming this was 2019 as an example. So by 12 February, she suffered with a capital S. All right? Even the D in the suffering was capital also. She suffered. She said she could hardly transport herself to work. So the following year, she was still going to the same church. January this time around, she took the salary to church. I don't know how, maybe she didn't want to be Ananias or Sapphira. So she told the truth that, look, I don't come more transport, just transport money to go to work in February. The pastor had to take the money back. That is not the complete first fruit. Yes. That's why she now wrote us. Said, Jesus is Lord. Use this pastor, you are bullshit. Yeah? They give you, the young woman only collected transport fare for February so that she can work for the, she could even pay, she was willing to offset it afterwards. We sent her a reply. Now, most of those things, I don't even, look, there's this blanket reply that you get. We don't interact with people one-on-one basis. How many will you answer? But that one, I just sent her a counsel that, please forget your pastor. Whatever you want to give to the church, because me, I'm not against you giving to your church. Put in an envelope, dance to the front, put it in the offering basket, and don't talk to him. There's no need for discussion. It's because he went to dance. Just put it in the offering basket. It's not between you and God. Some people say they are keeping tight records. How can you, human being, keep tight records? Sorry, to be honest, you're asking to be deceived. One day I was in church, all right? I was in the church. One big man beside me, big man. This guy, you know, one of those people that are, you know, in the church, large men. You expected that money did their hand. He stood up to pay tithe. Do they just want to pay tithe? Please stand up. I saw him take a tithe envelope and put 200 naira inside. And he stood up. So I dragged him, so I got, sit down. What are you doing? He said, I want to pay tithe. I said, oh, in my mind, why are you deceiving people? You know the caliber. Imagine that I'm going to come into church here now. Say, pay tithe. He puts 5,000 in heaven and stands up. He'd be like, okay, sit down. We're talking $20 billion in refinery. You are putting, I don't. You know what he said? That, please, I should leave him. That somebody gave him 2,000 at the beginning of service. Do you get it? They gave a big man like you 2,000 and now you are standing boldly in church. And young will think that envelope is 500K check that is inside. Yeah, of course, check now. Well, this like by stood up with 100 naira as it was paid that. I said, okay, will you sit down? He said, back your bed. Now that's what we do to ourselves. We don't be mocking ourselves. If you want to be keeping record of tithe, to deceive you is so easy. How will you know when I get a contract if I don't tell you about it? How will you know when my great uncle dies and leaves me a huge chunk of inheritance if I don't tell you about it? And if I told you about it, how will you know the portion of his inheritance as my own? Pastors, please leave that to you. You cannot humanly keep any financial records of people. If you are running an organization, a business, it's a different thing. You're in a church, you just have to trust people to do what they want to do. I'm talking about the fact that his commandments are not what? Burdensome. They're not difficult. They're not difficult. Oh, that lady I was telling you about, by the time she got our reply email, she said, we should do, but she has Google eating the money anyway. I said, God will bless you. Don't worry, the year will be good. All this one, if the first is holy, the rest is holy, is fraud. The year will be good. Don't take the scripture out of context. I know that thing is a quotation from scripture, but it doesn't apply the way you are trying to apply it. I have many more things to say about that, but there's no need. Let's sit on our message. If you are looking for a pastor that will not harass you like that, go to. There are a number of churches that will tell you. There's one guy sitting in front of me here. Who's the conversation? Okay. No, but do you have a denomination? Okay, so he said he has. So, so there are two of them. So these two men here, just see them after service. Say, please, where is your church? Even that one smiling at the door is about to graduate. He has not smiling now because I said he's smiling. His teeth were open just now. I said smile. Okay, the guy wearing the maroon red with plenty of beer. He will soon graduate. You can join his church too. All those of you sitting down here pretending like you are not called to ministry. If you are called, go and work. Don't give the few of us all the work to do. Think only me. One man, good man. I went to him. I said, sir, your message, because the man preaches well. He said he doesn't record his messages. I said, why? He said, you have preached everything, so I distribute your messages in church. I'm not kidding. He actually told me that. He said, there's no need now. And really, when you see his members, they are going around with Pastor Vanki's messages. You don't get. He actually told me this. I said, sir, they can't do like this. No, now it's not right. He was like, why are you bothering? Look, you be preaching, be recording, we'll be pastoring over there. Whatever you preach, we'll bring and share to the people. I told him, sir, it is not right. Because there's a way I speak, so people can't understand. You will speak your own. It's like me coming here now to distribute Ken Hagin messages that he has preached everything. One day, I was playing Ken Hagin in the house. My mother came and said, are you telling me you can hear what he said? No, my mother is like, and my mother understands English very well, though. She was a school teacher. I still remember the pronunciations my mother taught me as a little boy. So English is not her problem. But she listened to Ken Hagin. She came and said, Banky, come. How was that? Are you sure you are hearing it or you are just here pretending like you are? Like, mommy, everything he's saying is clear. So, if I leave Ken Hagin to beat one to preach to my mother, do you get my point? Uh-huh. So, many of you are called to ministry in different areas. Please go and do your work. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, go and do your work. People are looking for church to go to. I hope you understand that. Go and do your work. Some of you, I don't know why you're always in Enugu on Sunday. You know you're supposed to be in, what's the name of that, your village where you used to be? Okay, yes. There's one village immediately after Ever Valley. That's why you're supposed to be going to church on Sunday. And you are the pastor there. You don't go. You come to Enugu on Sunday. Is it good? Some of you, immediately after a minute, that village, immediately after, that is where you are supposed to be going every Sunday morning. Twice a week, you should be there. Sunday morning, and then midweek services, you are there teaching the scriptures. You won't go. You now go and join Pastor Kimothy and be helping him. He said he doesn't need help. Thank you. He has enough people in Enugu to help him. You are just hiding. You know, pretense. Like I said, we're a ministry. Which ministry? We're having Pastor Kimothy. God said, no. Go to where you are supposed to go. You know what's doing? You want to remain in band A? That's what he's doing here. You know. Why are we pretending? You know now. Looking for where to hide. If you go to those people, God will move them to band A eventually. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. So any one of you hiding, anyway, I'm praying for you. You know what he said? The harvest is what? Plentiful. The laborers are few. So we need to pray the Lord of the harvest to, what's that Greek word again? Anakazo, yes. Is that anakazo? Yes. To push them out. So next time your boss is thinking of downsizing, is you. So don't think of anything, it is you, so that you can go there. Maybe if you go now, they won't downsize. But if you stay without going, please don't spoil the man's business, Jonah. You know Jonah? What's the name of the village I'm referring to? That one after a minute, I don't know, but you know what I'm talking about. But the guy is on the boat going to Tarshish. Whichever. I know, let's not give names so that in case we get it wrong. Because, no, some people now, if you go and give a wrong name, they will not say it is not me. Meanwhile, it is them. The Lord is good. I'm just saying all of just in case you are looking for where the commandments are not burdensome. So you to go and create where you can teach the word of God. All right? I hope you get my point. So, have you heard this before? We have many churches. It's not true. It's a lie. The churches are not enough. You know what I mean by churches are not enough? Yesterday, somebody posted a TB Josh video that he prophesied that there will be hunger in the land. There's always been hunger in the land. What is the new thing? I told the guy, I said, the false prophet don't die, but leave us alone. Don't be harassing our lives. What I'm saying is that a lot of churches are full of false teachers, false prophets. People are looking for genuine places to go to where they can worship God and learn the truth. Where the pastor is not scanning their pocket before he decides the message to preach. As some pastors now will have said, what they are going to do, they're going to come to church with dark goggles. They don't want to see anybody. Just close their eyes and tell the truth. So that if the deacon is an adulterer, he will say it without looking at his face. You know, there are churches that the deacons are sinners and the pastors can't do anything. Because that wicked devil, he gives money. He has bought. Pastor Murphy talk again. And he knows. Anytime his wife is unhappy, he goes to give pastor an offering. Because he knows that pastor, the woman may report. And pastor will collect. And the greed. Pastor, let me just tell you. That's why you have ulcer. It's that guy's money. They will tell the guy the truth. Your ulcer will be healed. But let's sit on our message. The Lord is good. His commandments are not what? They're not grievous. Now let me sit on it. Now, there's a reason why I read that portion, the book of Matthew. There's a reason why. And that's because the Lord Jesus, he gave some direct, simple instructions. That's my teaching for today, actually. All this one we've been taking it easy and prophesying, because everything I said, I may be laughing. I'm talking to some people. Is that okay? But let's now get into the teaching. Now, you notice something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start from John. The commandments of God, not only are they not burdensome, they usually are direct. They are not hard. What do I mean? The soldiers, who those days doubled also for the policemen, they will come to John, what must we do? And he will say to them, don't take anything from anybody by force. It wasn't hard. Usually, each person has one instruction per time. And one prayer you must pray about your life is, what is my today's instruction? Do you get my point? What is my instruction for today? It's a prayer you must pray. Each moment in your life, there will be one instruction. Maximum two. Not plenty. Let me explain something about God. He's good. He's very good. So what he's always doing is looking for how to help. Now, if he were to give you all the details of life, you probably have like 200 instructions or areas you have to make adjustments between now and weekend and the next weekend. Otherwise, things will go terribly wrong in your life. But he's mindful that you can't do it. So this is what he does. He picks one or two crucial things. He gives you grace. Grace comes through instruction and through the infusion of the Spirit. As a result of the instructions heard and the prayers prayed, you have enough grace to obey those two things. And if he will do them, he will take care of 198. So that your life will run smoothly as if you've done 200 things correctly. Do you get my point? Then when you are done with those two, he picks the next two. When the first two have become normal with you, when it's no longer an issue for discussion, he takes the next two. And your whole life is being changed like that, bit by bit. You take what is of the flesh, you lay it down. He puts in what is of the spirit. And it lets you see a lot of times. But most times, it doesn't even let you see. Many things you will change in life without being deliberately conscious that you are changing them. So each moment in life, you have to know the instruction for today. And they usually are not hard. That's where I'm going. John the Baptist will look at the tax collector. He said, what must we do? He said, hey, your problem is about taxation. He didn't say don't do taxes. If you notice, Jews didn't like tax collectors. They considered them very wicked people. And of course, it's based on their covetousness. Two things. One, covetousness, and the fact that they worked for the Romans. So they saw them as saboteurs. I understand, all right? So, those are the two reasons. But John didn't tell them, stop being a tax collector. Go and check it. What must we do? He said, calculate the taxes appropriately and don't charge more than you're supposed to charge. Like I told you, they've doubled as policemen, all right? So everything. He said, look, be content with your wages. Please, let me sit on that for a moment. Being content with your wages is an assignment most people need to learn. And there's a principle behind it. What does it mean, be content with your wages? It means stop putting your children in schools you can't afford. You now have to have the state government money to pay for it 10 years ahead. That man is laughing excessively. It's because they have information. He has information some people don't have. Because it's not necessary. Listen, if you're a serious parent, one school is probably as good as the other. I have a friend, he's a neurosurgeon today, probably a professor self. He told me once, I was surprised, that they didn't have a physics teacher in a secondary school. He said, look, I went to one of those Jack Hunter schools, he told me. I said, what? And you seem like, you know, be like an assault guy. You know that kind of, you know, assault. You know what they call assault? Like a jebota. He said, no, no, that is, and that his father said to him clearly, I don't know how to beg people. You want to study this medicine in uni, like, you go and read, pass, and cross their cut off mark. He said, because father said to him, I don't know how to beg. And the father knows people. The man just said, I don't know how to beg. He told me, he said, my guy, I took Abbott and read it by myself. My school didn't have a physics teacher. My father said he's not planning to beg. I looked myself, looked my life. I took Abbott and read it by myself. Passed WAEC, blasted jump, got into school by himself, first batch. So looking for money to export children to, you know, in that school, all the screens are computers. Their children will not be smarter than my guy who didn't even have a teacher. Let me tell you something about learning. It's personal motivation. So as a parent, your job is to motivate the children. This day and age, they can't learn anything. It sounds funny. Let me be honest with you. School is socializing. You have to have friends. Now you have to have that this person was my classmate. Otherwise, if na YouTube, what is not there? What is not there? The problem is that parents are not, they want to export everything. I hope you're getting my point. Where am I going? I'm talking about being content with your wages. Someone said, you know, civil service. I said, listen. It's because you decided you are going to be renting a house that's $2 million a year. If you have decided to, God, please, give me a house I can afford. That's how to be, being content with your wages. Let me put it in modern words. Learn how to manage the money you have. Like I keep on saying, let me not sit on it too much. Somebody's wedding. Is there a very sure be you must buy? Ask them what's the color code. I don't want to go into details. You learn to wear simple clothes. You know, simple clothes. By the time you're going to use all your money to sew one thing that looks like you're Cinderella showing up from somewhere. Next wedding, you don't want to wear it again. Meanwhile, all your money went into it. Look, I told you before, God taught me that thing. It's my wife that brought color into my life. She used to say it. Now, I wear white mostly now for other reasons. But those days I wore it, it was the cheapest way to get around in life. One of the ways by which I was content with my wages, because God made sure I didn't have money. Ah! People think God only gives money. It takes away. If you just say, relax, I won't give you money yet. Sit down here. Every phase of life has a test. Do you get my point? It has a test. Sometimes the test is that you won't have to blame too much. You have to learn how to manage it. So when he said, be content with your wages, it's a technique. You have to go, and listen, you go and pray about it. Please, I don't mean to insult anybody, all right? So if I'm not talking about you. The other day I asked my wife, we were talking about it. I said, do you realize I've hardly ever been really broke in life? Not because I've always had money. I just always used to cut down whatever is in front of me to what I've got. You've heard me say tell the story again and again when I was a resident, when my money hardly crossed the middle of the month. You say, hey, were you broke that time? Well, maybe, but go and check it. I didn't have, I just didn't go anywhere. So I couldn't owe the taxi man. I couldn't owe anybody because I was not going anywhere. And those of you, young men, now let me leave the young women for some time. I'll talk to the young women soon. Young men, you don't need to impress anybody. I've been telling you. My wife and I were watching one movie yesterday. Windows did one called Holy Scam. They did that about 2 weeks ago. I watched this more, then I went, I'll go and finish it later. Okay? But what was the guy's problem? The woman he wanted to marry, another guy came, gave her an iPhone. I was telling my wife a few days ago, do you know, I have never, God is my, look. Oh, Father God, I give you praise. I've never believed a man should chase a woman that he doesn't like him. I've never, all my life. I said, the kind of person where I be, those days when we were young, there was no mobile phone like this. But if it's now, if I call you and I say, hello, can I help you? I will never call you again. God knows. I'm a single man. I've called you before. Then I'll call you one day. I say, hello, can I help you? I'm like, excuse me. This is Uche calling you. And you know I'm the one. And you ask me, can I help you? I will say, no, you can't. I will hang the phone. And as the Lord leaves, I will never call you again. And we'll see in church, we'll greet you. I will play with you in church. How are you? The Lord bless you. I'll prophesy over your head, but I'm passing you by. So if you're a woman that likes to play hard to get, you can never marry a person like me. I know it's not possible because I don't understand why I should be trying to persuade somebody who doesn't like me. Two cannot work together except they like each other. Now, where am I going? So, young men, please, you don't need money to impress anybody. I hope you're getting my point. In fact, the woman God wants to marry, the reason why she likes that, that your shoe is the only pair you have. But you don't know. When else you see her, now you go and drop your shoe at home. You go and, you now go and, where is that funny thing Victory was wearing this morning? Victory wore one very, where is it? Okay, he's mine in the camera. He has something on his feet there. Crocs. You now go and borrow Crocs to wear because you have only one pair of shoes. Meanwhile, that is the thing the Lord showed her in the vision. The Lord told her that the man will have this pair of, you know, shoes and he shall wear it every day. Now you have missed your destiny now because you are ashamed. The Lord is good. Please, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord. Don't try and impress anybody. You hear what I said? Mm-hmm. I don't need to say. And then, men and women, the same thing. You know, women are very expensive. What they used to do hair once, a man used to cut his hair for like 16 years. No, somebody like Benga cut his hair twice in three years. I mean, can't you see the hair on his head? He's doing matriculation today. Sister, I do matriculation. He didn't ask me for money for anything. Sister, I don't call him, Mama. I say, please, he don't give her bill for hair for matriculation. He said, you see, women are just expensive. What the woman used to do makeup alone for her wedding, the guy used to buy suit, shoes. Do you get my point? Belt, wristwatch, thank you, to hold for this thing. And it's just a makeup that the woman is still doing for wedding. And they are going for the same wedding. I don't get it. Is it a lie? Is it my shoe or our shoe? My own or the men? Okay, men's shoes. No, my one I've been married for 25 years, so leave that one. Men's shoes, especially, generally, let me tell you people. It is because the guy buys only black. One pair of black shoes, and then add another brown to it, and those two, and he has done the will of God for like 4 years. Is it a lie? That is the reason why we need that quality of shoes. You know what they call kakaroro? Yes. That shoe, when he's, if he's going for wedding, he will shine it. If he's going for class, he will wear it. Sometimes if he's going to jog, he can't find any other thing. The same thing. So don't. When I first married that time, my wife said, I don't have shoes. And I'm looking at the rack. You don't have shoes. What are these things? So none of them is blue. Why should anyone be blue? Mine is only black and brown. So please, you ladies, don't even go near it at all. But anyway, let me sit on my message. The main thing I'm saying is this. If you don't have, still be content with your wages. I've told you before. Sometimes you go to a church where they don't harass you. If you go to a church, everybody, you make up your mind. See, if you have the spirit to stand again, go and cut your hair. Say, so, well, you're on a retreat for 2 years. Don't women cut hair. Just cut it. Say, I mean, I'm going through some things. I'm just trying to, reflect. Why should I go? When I see what women spend on hair sometimes. I've learned to, guys, at the point in time in your life, you're a married man, just learn not to notice. Whatever they bring, say it is fine. And then, don't ask how much it is. You just have heart problem for nothing. So, don't ask questions. One day, my wife and my daughter do hair finish. I couldn't understand. She said, it has beads. Should it have beads if it costs this much? Have you ever seen any of the boys cut hair and they put beads at the end? The better thing, don't just ask questions. Once you see someone that's elaborate on their head, I'm talking to married people, don't ask. What did I say? Unless you have a strong mind. Now, it's not about whether you have money or not. It's whether you think is worth it. Now, let me sit on the media I'm trying to say. That's just by the way. I just wanted to draw something for men. Hey, I've not finished with the men. I've realized that don't know too many things. One day, my wife said she wanted to redo the kitchen. Do you know, till now, after like 3 years, I don't know how much she spent. You know why? I don't think about it. I mean, miss, you know, they call miss beat. Your heart is beating. It stopped for like 3 seconds before it starts. The kitchen is nice, though. I'm not saying it's bad, though. Yeah, praise God. Amen. How much? I don't want to know. Because sometimes this money can do foundation for another building. So if you know, you'll be thinking about the other foundation. Do you get my point? But if you don't, God will still bless you. You'll still reach where you're supposed to reach in life. And your wife is happy, you're happy. All right? Leave it like that. Now, be content with your wages. This is the point I'm making. If you can't afford it, be bold and don't let anybody harass your life. That's the point. I remember one of the wisdom God gave me when I was getting married. Do this, do that. At the point in time, I told my wife's parents that I'm financially exhausted. I manufactured those words. Then they pity me. Before this boy go die, before I marry my big, leave him alone. You want to do things you can't afford. What is wrong with you? One of the things I regretted today is the second pair of shoes I bought. The first one will have sold for the 2 days. Yeah, because that one, I didn't even enjoy it after. I'm telling you the truth. Please, don't put yourself under pressure for anybody. Christmas is coming. You don't have money to go home. Send them the little you have. Don't go. Traveling is expensive. I've not seen them in a long time. What is WhatsApp call, video call for? When you do that, are people not marrying people in America that they have never seen? And all they do, they met on Facebook and they are seeing each other. What is all this putting yourself under unnecessary pressure in life? Please stop having problems that are not necessary. God forbid that you should fall sick, but if it's sickness you want to cure, they will know we need money. Do you get my point? People say, wedding is a lifetime. Dying is once in a lifetime. Dying is also once in a lifetime. If you go and kill yourself because you want to marry now, are you now die? Are you going to die a second time? It is given unto me how many times to die? It's not only wedding that's once in a lifetime. Dying is also once in a lifetime. So why should I now die because I want to get married? If you don't have the money, you don't have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Learn how to be content. There's a principle behind it. You know, sometimes people are always coming up with a faith to do. Sometimes the faith is to be able to feel good the way you are. It's not every time faith will now get you something new. Faith sometimes says, God, I have only one room. And I'm going to stay there for now. Give me faith to sleep well. Some of you are on band F, like my friend. We're talking about band A. He said, I don't even know the band I am in. My light only flickers once in a while. I said, you should know now it's band F. Band flicker. So what are you talking about? It's your own, it's band F. So you live in band F, it's not a problem. You go and pray. No? There's a way God will give you sleep. These are the things you do with faith. Not in this place. You can't even sleep. Everywhere is hot. You grumble, grumble. Why don't you ask God, give me sleep? I told the testimony then when I wasn't feeling well. And one night my wife just said, my husband, you're not sleeping. And I was like, ah, what do you mean I'm not sleeping? I'm sleeping. She said, no, you're not sleeping. She said, every time I open my eyes, either you're pacing up and down, or you are sitting at the edge of the bed, or you are turning, or you're on that, there's a couch in the bedroom, or you're on that couch, or it just explained that there's no time I open my eyes and I see you are sleeping. Then they don't know me that it's been like this for days. I was so uncomfortable, I hardly slept. So I told her, okay, don't worry. It was 3 a.m., I remember, around 3. I said, don't worry. I said, don't worry, go back to sleep. So I turned, and I said to the Lord, you heard what she said. I remember what I said. I said, I need to sleep. Then I opened my eyes. It was 9 o'clock. You don't get the point. I can't remember falling asleep. All I remember is I opened my eyes. And there was nobody. My wife had gone. She had gone out with the children. They had gone to school and everything. Ah, the house was whole empty. That was when she now called. I now picked the phone. How are you? I said, I'm fine. She said, you were sleeping so deeply. I felt it would be wrong to wake you up. So all the time, normally when she starts getting ready like that, even if I was asleep, I wake up. We are in the same bedroom for goodness sake. All the walk up and down, have a bath, dress up, move here, open the door, close the door. My door is not so quiet. If you open it, I will know. Why? I just asked the Lord, please, I need to sleep. And that's 6 hours, more than 6 hours, uninterrupted. The sun was already out. I just opened my eyes. Where is everybody? And I checked the time. 6 hours had passed. When he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Listen, that's what he meant. These days, if my AC is not working, in those hot seasons, to sleep will be hard. But it's because I can afford AC and I can pay the money to power it. If you can't, use, you know what it says? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man sleep. Yeah, when they say leaves, and that's what he was saying. That everything that you can get with bread, you can get with the word. I've seen people try to interpret that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because their diet, there was nothing in their diet. That Daniel and the other guys, there was nothing in their diet. When they say wheat only vegetables, you see, vegetables is lean. It doesn't have all those fat. All that, I can say convincingly, it's not true. Their good looks came out of the fact that they acted on divine instructions. It was, they did that thing by faith. Don't think those young boys cooked up that idea. A revelation came to them. Because they had made up their minds, they would not defy themselves. It's like telling me that when Jacob stripped this thing, that you have now discovered that the poplar tree, it has some radiation that moves genes. Nonsense. When you put trees, you strip, you know, the sticks and put in front of animals, there is no humanly possible way, there's no scientific way by which it affects the genes of the animals mating. Those of you who do biology, they've talked about, is it F1, F0 generation, F1, is it not F? Yes, F1, F2. Laban knew that. Laban has selected everything that could manifest. You can check it. He made sure this was a pure breed. These animals, none of them will have any stripes on them. None of them will have spots. He gave those ones to his sons. Jacob said, no problem. The word of the Lord came to him one night. This is what you will do. He was acting on an instruction. Don't think he just came up with the idea. The word of the Lord came to him. Say, you will take this tree, cut it, pattern it like this. Whatever pattern you put in front of the animals, that they shall have. So Jacob said, no problem. He cut his trees, the stems. Strong animals mating, he puts it there. Behold, then they give birth to patterned animals. Listen to me. Laban was confused. It is the same principle that Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Ananias used. It's the same. There's no diet principle to learn from it. Even if the diet was true, is it in 10 days you see the result? All of you have been on keto diet, Atkins diet, you've been on hallelujah diet. How many of you saw results in 10 days? The only one that ever saw results in 10 days are those who wire their teeth. 10 days you see the result. Once you remove the teeth, 10 days you see another result. I don't know whether you got that one. You are back to square one. No, people wire their teeth to lose weight. And just so you can't eat anything. Me, eh? The idea, I want to open my mouth. That thought will almost drive me crazy, so I'm not even going to do that. My weight better. Anyway, let's not go that way. The Lord is good. It's not a very good way, really, to do that. Because once you unwire the teeth, it's a matter of time. Whatever you lost is coming back to you. Okay? Because the way you get a result is how you will sustain it. Okay? If you can't keep your teeth wired the rest of your life, don't bother starting. Find something that is sustainable. Is that okay? But where I'm going is that you don't get those results in 10 days. This guy got his result in 10 days. It was a miracle. What am I going to say? You can use those same miracles now to be content with your wages. You can. After all, these days, the more money you have, the less you want to eat. You've not noticed? Yeah. You cannot afford to eat less. I don't know whether you get my point. You now use a lot of money to eat grass. You now, you know, yeah, it's true. You now, it is the truth now. The only difference now is that you now hire somebody to cut grass for you. It's still grass. Well, those that don't have your money, they are like, hey. My friends, some of them, they are very funny. I have some comedians as friends. They say, now, wow. Now that I have money, I can't eat. Because they are remembering those days when they were students. And they've been thinking that one day, the day has come now. The day has come, yet. It's now, watch your weight. At this age, you can be diabetic. You don't want to have this problem. Then I look and say, what do I eat? Eat only this, eat only that, eat only that. Like, I have money, and this is all I will eat. You know, you now use a lot of money to eat simple food. You know, some people are finally discovering that Gary and Granite is the will of God. Something those of us who had faith, we knew long ago. So you now see a rich man now turning Gary and, you know, with ice cubes inside. And I'll put some, and I'll put honey and ask, now be eating as if he's rich. And yes, it's a lot of money because somebody has to bring the Gary. And he has to pay the person full time to serve Gary that you can walk into the store, collect by yourself. See, this running up and down is not necessary. You can enjoy your life where you are right now. That's the point I'm making. When I say be content with your wages, is a look, you use faith to do it. Jokes apart, you can use faith. Not you can. You should use faith to put nutrients in your food. You know, all my life, I never saw Gary in the morning. I never believed in it. All my life. You know the day I changed? That's about 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago or last year? I went to eat breakfast. I was alone in the house. So I entered the kitchen. I looked at what can I eat here? Ah, and I saw one bowl. It contained a very nice white dish. I just thought it must be a cereal. I didn't know which one because they buy things sometimes. You just want, I don't know what they buy. So I just said, this one looks nice. So I brought all the normal things, you know, the bowl, the water, the milk, the sugar, everything. I had everything ready. I now stretched the top of the shelf and brought the thing down. Opened it, only to discover what it was. It was very new, fine one, as if it was well sieved. It looked beautiful. So I said, oh. So I carried it and returned it. I was about to turn away and I asked myself, so what is wrong with it? Wait. It was revelation that day. So I asked myself, so what is wrong with it? It's not just a cultural issue. All my life, morning, this was in the morning, maybe around 8, 9. So I brought it back down. And I use it like you use the normal cereal. This one, just like this cereal grows underground. Still cereal. It's being granulated. Are you getting my point? Mani Hot Utilisima. If you put it like that, it will sell. Is that not the name? Those of you who know biology and agri, did I get it right? All of them are quiet now. When they say read when you were in school, you refuse to read. Parents, you should know this one. You are still in school. What is the botanical name for cassava? Better get it, too. Otherwise, is it because you want me looking at you? Look at the way she's looking at you. This boy is in trouble. He's in trouble. After service, better run somewhere. The Lord is good. Now, please, what's the point I'm making to us? Do you know? Now, let's leave the laughter out for a moment. You can use faith to put all the nutrients you need into what you have. To be content with your wages. It's a practical thing which everybody must learn. Let me add this one to it. Please, don't get used to. There's one thing about, you hear this thing, hunger is in the land, we need to protest. Hunger is in the land, you know. Like one of my friends said, this guy who shot hunger, said, look at how fat he is. Now, where I'm going is that, you know, people make a tradition, a habit of complaining. Now, let me just tell you something. God hates it. What did I say? Now, please, I don't think you heard me well. I said God hates it. What did I say? God hates complainers. He hates people who complain. Let me say it. He will not bless you. When you pray, he will shut the window. I don't want to hear anything from that guy. What does he say? Don't ever go to prayer with a complaining attitude. Always start with sincere gratitude. Did you hear what I said? What am I saying? Like that breakfast night, anyway. Lord, my mates eat cornflakes in the morning, imported cornflakes, Kellogg's, that's what they eat. I'm senior to these guys. What you talk. And God said, and I gave you Gary. Wait, go to that kitchen tomorrow, whether you'll find it there. Tomorrow you open the bowl. How two rats got in there, chopped their portion, peed and poo-pooed on the rest. You'll be wondering, no, these people must be spiritual. How did they open this cap? No, it's an angel that came, opened it for them, helped them climb the place. When they finish it, he remove it, put it down. Now, we may be laughing, but the Lord does that too. Never, ever go to the Lord with a grumbling spirit. Never do that. Even if you have problems, sit down there, look for reasons to give thanks for at least 5 minutes. There's something me and the children do at home. A lot of time when we are praying, me and their mother. I tell them, listen, now bring out your hands. They do that. Everybody close your eyes. I tell them to do that. Now, give the Lord for 10 things. And count them with your fingers. Just find 10 things to give thanks for. Just find. Sometimes I give guides. You are in a house, right? That's enough. Did you not eat last night? That's enough. That's one. You woke up this morning. Are you sick? No. Even if you are sick, you woke up. I said, look around you. You are not alone. You have brothers. You have, a sister around you. You have your parents. I said, give thanks. I give them guides. How many pair of shoes do you have? You may think it's small. I said, just count. Be deliberate. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. It's very important, people of God, be deliberate. You know what I say? Be deliberate. I want to pray about something, and I won't pray yet. Let me give thanks. Break your life down into several compartments and just look for something to thank God for. And if you have enough understanding, even what looks bad, somebody just broke your heart. Father, I want to thank you that Henry is gone. Yeah. Lord, thank you. I know you love me. Now, by the way, I can't start any stories now. They look ridiculous, all right? It's my wife and I will be discussing this in the room at home. If you see the way God takes care of me in some little things, I'll tell her, oh, girl, I marvel. You know, sometimes they look little. The small thing, small. The other day, a friend of mine traveled. Just to give a very, I said, you look ridiculous. A friend of mine traveled. So I said, you're going to see this guy. So I said, tell him to send me a pair of jeans. After all, she buy me something. We just complain about it. Now, so I told him, don't buy this. I don't want something expensive. I mentioned a particular brand. Don't buy it because they're really costly. I told him that. So I just said, what to buy? He said, okay, no problem. When the day they entered the shop to buy, the guy said, couldn't reach me on the phone. He tried to contact me, make a long story. He couldn't reach me on the phone. So you know what he finally did? He had to make a choice. He wanted to ask me which one. Because he couldn't reach me, he had to buy both. Because they can't travel all the way back from North America and you get something that's not good. So he decided to buy both of them. One of them, a color. I also remember, you saw it the other day, that I normally wouldn't choose. Let's make a long story short. I told my wife, I said, see, it turned out to be and that happened to be the brand I said, don't buy, because I felt it was too costly. At the end of the day, it happened to be the one I used the most. And then I bought it, the Lord just switched off my phone. If you call him, he'll make a wrong choice. So they sat there, tried to reach me, couldn't. So let's make it easy. Buy this. One of them will be good enough for him. Both of them were very good. Now, I didn't want to tell you because it looked like a small thing. But I pointed to my wife. I said, look at it. I said, do you know? The Lord just said, it may be like a small thing. I said, but he put his hand in. I said, no. Banky prefers this. Just like he does not know. I don't know whether I get my point. Now, that's just one tiny one. I could go on and on and on. With my wife, I was discussing yesterday. I said, please, sweetheart, look at the way God just helps me take care of things. That is why, if something is poor, I've told the story before. One day, I sat down, I packed my car, went to Benin for local convention. I packed my car. As we arrived, I packed. So my wife came down, and where I packed, suddenly my eye just went to one car across. So something in me just said, if that guy reverses, he will jam your car. And I just moved the car away. I just backed up slightly from where I was parked, near one ledge, quite a high one. So I went. Went for the program, was it? And of course, the way my convention goes, we're very busy. Around 11 o'clock, I came out of the hall to take a call from my friend, a call from abroad. So I sat down there and I was on the phone. And I saw one man come out of the hotel, walk straight to that car. You understand? Reverse the car straight into where I parked. Now, I told you the time because it was night. The compound there was not very well lit. I parked against a high ledge. The car was black. He said he didn't see it. But remember, I told you I reversed. So by the time he hit that place, bam, my car rocked like this. He just hit the front bumper at an edge. Did not do any significant damage. If that car had been where I parked it, it would have hit the side and bashed in two of my doors. That's not the story. I lent somebody my car in Enugu, and they had a terrible accident with it. The car was written off. My car I left in Enugu. I had another one, all right? This one was a Sienna, the one we traveled with. I had this 300E that time. My guy said he wanted to use it for something. I said, okay, use now. Me, I'm traveling. He gave it to somebody who didn't know how to drive. Didn't know how powerful the engine of that car was. The guy gave the thing one day, hit something, pam, boom, boom, boom. The car somersaulted. Now, you see what the test of God. I had a choice of two. Thankful for this and thank God for that. I couldn't thank God for one and grumble about the other. Do you catch it? I told God, you watch over me. God said, I watch over you. I said, yes. I said, good, you're about to get news. Let me know whether you really think so. Then I got a call. Make a long story short, I never saw the car again. I didn't even bother. I told them they should carry the carcass. They sold that scrap. Now, let me tell you one of the reasons why Joseph was able to do what he did with his brothers. He actually recognized the hand of God. That's why he could forgive them. So for me, I wasn't angry really. I was unhappy that, look, I gave you my car, you gave somebody else to drive. But that's a small thing. The important thing is that the man was going for his wedding. So thank God he did not die. He was inside the car. When the car started, if I was getting calls from people, because it happened to be on the road where many people know me. So the gist was around the car. So somebody called from outside the Enugu who knew me. A friend that called a friend who called a friend that had an accident. So I got a car. Sir, how are you doing? I said, I wasn't there. I was not even in town. Why am I telling the story again? You know what the Lord just simply said to me? Say, I took care of you in this small thing. I could have taken care of that. For whatever reason, I let it go the way it did. So just give thanks. So what did I give God thanks for? One, I had another car I was using. Two, the young man who took my car did not die. The guy who was driving, I'm serious, he was heading for his traditional wedding. He ended up in hospital, even though he was not seriously injured. They had to check him out. I mean, the seat belt marked him to tell you what the impact was like. So I gave God thanks from the bottom of my heart that he survived. I have another car to drive. And God made it clear. See the way I just delivered you from that small thing. I could have delivered you from this one. So just leave the matter there. That is why I've told you before, when you want to go and pray, never grumble to God. It's very annoying. You know, it's maybe if you know God, you will know why it's annoying. Because it's like, now let me use it like a human father. I break my back to help you here. Do you know what you should have been going through? You will have died in 17 pieces. I kept you together. Make sure you are alive. Took care of your wife, took care of your children, and you're hearing this grumbling because you're in band F. See, I know enough about life now to know that this country, everybody should be dead. The wicked. One man described Nigeria as a massive crime scene. He said the whole country is a crime scene, and that is not a lie. That the whole, look, I hardly, even churches are crime scenes. So let's be honest with ourselves. See, this country we are talking about, the dose of mercy is excessive. Yes. The amount of mercy we have. Some people can sit down and complain. Please, I will preach my message. I hope people are not in a hurry. If I can't preach, I'll preach next time. Okay? But this, now, right now, once you are in the spirit, you have to scatter these things once in a while. See, let me tell you something. I've learned something. You know, I learn every day. my greatest lesson the last 1-2 years, I think the last 1 year, is something I've always known, but it's now real to me. Is that anything we get in life is a gift of God. I always knew it, but now. Now, before I knew it personally, my life is a gift. But even as a people, you know, one of my colleagues just located to North America was calling me yesterday, telling me about things. Well, hey, things, I just smiled. I said, you know, people now say that, you see, if our leaders, I says, now listen, if you're a Christian, never say that. Because it's a sign you don't know anything. I don't mean any insult, just describing what you are. It's like telling you now that Pastor Kimuti is wearing white. Is that an insult? Is it an insult? Okay, I told Jonathan now that he's wearing, even Jamal joined me, that he's wearing one beautiful, you know, very lovely maroon red striped, you know, senator kaftan that makes him a good pastor, you know, to behold. It's just a description of what he looks like. I hope I get my point. So when I tell you, you don't know anything, it's not an insult. You actually don't know. If you ever open state, one day a classmate of mine, I told him that, see, I don't think you realize how old you are. I told him that. My classmates, we graduated university in the year 1991. Everybody was in my class is a doctor. Do you get my point? And we finished school in 1991. And I said, earlier or last year, he said, if only our leaders, I told him, would you be quiet? I said, if you are this age, you are telling me about leaders. I told him like that. Well, do you realize how old you are? One of our brothers worked for one senator who worked for Goodluck Jonathan. The guy was surprised that they would be in Aso Rock, you know, premises. And people would be saying what the government should do. And he's like, excuse me. Please, if I'm in Aso Rock and they are saying what the government should do, where do I go? For those who don't know Aso Rock is our own White House. It's Nigeria's White House. In fact, there was one joke when, you know, Lagos floods regularly. It's not news really, but anytime they flood, people make jokes about it. There was one I saw last week. One guy was carrying somebody supposed to be the president on his back around his house in Ikoyi. All right? So the guy was saying, wow, is this what people are going through? He said, what the government? I think the government. So the guy said, sir, you are the government. Said, oh, sorry, I forgot. That's what we all do, blame government. Now let me get back to the thing I'm saying. If you're a Christian, it should never come out of your mouth. Now I'm going to say something people will not like, but it's a fact. Government is not responsible for anything that we're going through. No. Somebody showed a video clip the other day of President Tinubu when he was campaigning against Jonathan years ago. How they got? He said, look at it. I said, look, this is what they all say. Buhari said the same thing. It's what they all say. They will sit down there and say, they have to look for somebody to blame. But please, I'm teaching Christians again. Never join them, because when you do, it shows you don't understand anything and you're not even aware of life. That is, you don't have enough history, knowledge of history, to know that these things are not in human hands. Somebody quoted, I think, not Abraham Lincoln, one of the American old-time presidents, that the man said that he has observed that what moves a nation forward is an invisible hand. That he sees the way the country moves, he can't explain it. I have found out that everything, I'm not saying don't do what you're supposed to do. I hope you get my point. On Tuesday, we prayed about this saga in a refinery and all of that. Yesterday or 2 days ago, one guy forwarded another side of the story. Maybe I should forward it to you to read. When he was done, he said something that surprised me. He said when he heard that Dangote was building a refinery that would process 650,000 barrels a day, he asked himself, where is he planning to get the crude from? He said, because he knew it was not possible for Nigeria to supply it to him. And they gave the breakdown. The federal government gets only about 400,000 barrels. Where will he see the rest from? That even if they sold everything to him. When he finished breaking down, amount has gone for this. He explained a lot of things. When he finished, I said, Jesus is Lord. I said, it's good to hear another side of a story. Then he brought some other issues up. Now, I'm not saying, like, if you remember when I was praying, I said, I'm not taking sides. I just said, let's keep our eyes. In fact, I said it that day that I realized that if you do calculation, you'll be disappointed. The man explained his own side of the story. And now, he didn't take any side. He abused everybody. He abused NNPC. He abused all of them. They are just a cesspool of corruption. He said, but let's look at this other side. He said, these challenges were supposed to be foreseen. But like I also said, now, I don't want to get into that, but I said they must have foreseen it. Some of these things you are seeing them doing, they're trying to solve some issues, want to play for all of us to see some things. Okay, let's leave that. But the point I'm making is this. There's nothing humanly possible that you can do to create an ambience that God has not granted. That's why I don't want Christians to gather. I like the way Khan has said that. Please, they don't believe in protest, though. Everybody say, I don't want protest. Better believe them. Because, now, this is not core message. Anybody think they want to do protest, they're a bundle of ignorant and foolish people. What is my reason? What are you going to achieve? Go to Kenya, ask them what they have achieved. Just go to Kenya, ask them what they have achieved. Do you remember Arab Spring? The Arab countries were at peace until that Arab Spring. You don't like Saddam Hussein, you don't like Saddam Hussein. Iraq had more peace under him than they have till now. Libya was one of the most prosperous countries on the earth until they killed Gaddafi. Syria is still at war till today. Since that Arab Spring, people, I said, they don't know. Till today, in case you don't know, Syria is still at war. You don't hear much about Syria anymore because there are bigger wars happening. And, you know, this slide, Naso Ebio, people don't know they are fighting in Sudan. BBC doesn't even talk about it again. CNN have other things to talk about. These countries that border Nigeria on top. If you know the amount of fight that is going on there. But nobody talks about it anymore. Why? Bigger fights are happening. They have fought in Gaza. Or people are even tired of reading about Gaza fights now. So they are always looking for how to make sure we read it. As they are fighting in Gaza, people forget that they are fighting in Ukraine. How do you know they are still fighting in Ukraine? People don't know. They are fighting every day in Ukraine. But why? Gaza war started, we forgot Ukraine. That's a small aside. What's the point I'm making? Do you know, since that Arab Spring, till now, Syria, they still have wars here and there. And their war was intense for years. Now, this is something a lot of people do not know. Do you know, in Iraq, Christians had peace under Saddam. The same thing with Assad. Now, this is not my message now, please. This is not my message, but we just want to gist. Do you know that under Assad, Syria, if you're a Christian, you were safe. Then anybody came after you, he will respond. You know why? He's in one of those tiny minorities also. So if you took over, they will wipe out his own people. So the guy fights for survival. It was when Islamic State and Coke started killing people and they heard that they have... All those who were making noise, they couldn't guarantee them this freedom, the peace. So please, let nobody come and trouble you that he wants to protest against bad governance. You ask him, where are you going to get to? Where are you going to get to? Where are you going to get to? If you're a Christian, listen, what you need is a peace that God gives. Did you hear what I said? If you're a Christian, what you need is what? The peace that God gives. When Dangote was speaking the other day, I was shocked that they say only two African countries don't import refined products. I it was unbelievable for me. I said, but the man can't be lying now. He said, Angola has tried to build a refinery for many years. Uganda has tried one for 10, one for 15 years. They have not yet succeeded. I said, what? And somebody tells me there's no spiritual problem. There is a spiritual problem. There is. And for those of us who are believers, that's where we should put our emphasis. How did I get into talking about this? I was talking about content with the wages, right? From there, we now went into many things which I don't know how I got there. But I hope you are learning something.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's go and start the message again. This is the third time I'm trying to start. This is the third time. But let's see whether it will work this time around. The Lord is good. So we're talking about the defense in precepts. Remember that? And what I began today with is to let us know that the precepts of God are not difficult. That God doesn't ask for difficult things. That's why I gave the example of John the Baptist, in which John said to the tax collector, this is all I'm asking you to do. To the soldier, This is what I'm asking you to do. Each person has, I was saying to you, please let me get back there. Each person, yeah, I went to all of that talking about you must learn the habit of Thanksgiving, remember? Now let me get back to what we're saying. Each person has an instruction or two, usually not more than two, for each moment in his or her life. And you must pray that God, in fact, that's one interpretation of give us this day our daily bread. That's the way to call it. It's your daily bread. Because you see what God does is this. Once you fulfill that one, let me explain something to you about God. It's the principle of imputed righteousness. All right? When God wants to impute righteousness, he said, you want to walk with me? Yes. You can't walk with me except I call you righteous. So you say, okay, fine. What do I need to do to be called righteous? Say, believe on him whom the Lord has sent. He didn't say, treat your wife nicely. He didn't say, work hard. He didn't say, do this. He just said, do what? Believe on him whom the Lord has sent. You know what he was trying to say? In case you do not know. If you do that, I pull you into my inner circle. You become a personal friend. Now, when you are with me, all the other things will come out of your life naturally. It's a principle of imputed righteousness. It says to Abraham, so will your descendants be. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? For righteousness. That God says, this man, I said something, he said amen to it. Then he's good enough for me. I said something, and he said amen to it. It's a principle. So in life, it's not, God doesn't go into fine details. No, there's no need. In your life, he picks one thing at a time. Two things, usually not more than that. I say, do this one, and you are fine. That is why, you know David in the Bible? If you sit down and critically appraise David, if he's alive today, you won't like him. Yes, God called him what? A man after my heart. But he explained what he meant. He didn't say, a man after my heart, a husband of one wife. Did he say so? A man after my wife, my heart, who loves peace. Is that what he said? What did he say? A man after my heart, who will do? Anything I command, he will do it. David had only one thing going for him. Anything God commands, he will do. Which was what Saul had against him. David's own was simple. If God says, go and attack the Amalekites and wipe them out. See, you couldn't persuade David otherwise. If God says, I want you to take Jerusalem and make it the capital city, David becomes his life goal. Whatever God desires is a life goal of David. And God, now, the Bible may not have told you all of this in details, but you can easily work it out. And David obeyed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's the principle all the time. Please, I hope you're getting my point. And David obeyed God, and it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. That's the way it works. It's not everything that David did right. I look at it. Some of the ways David used to behave. If we catch him this day and age, we will show the guy a paper. We would not. That is International Court of Justice. He's going there. Yet God anointed him. He wrote most of the Psalms that you read. He prophesied. He made the people of God prosper. Now, I'm going to say this again. Now, today is just a day of talking many things, all right? Many things. There are days like that. So we'll not preach this message another time. You know Donald Trump? Have you ever heard of Donald Trump? There's one American guy, Donald Trump. They tried to kill him the other day. This man, one of these prophets, used to call him. When he's talking about him, if you publish what he says about Donald Trump in the secular world, you'll be embarrassed. That is a Christian. You say, this righteous man. Yeah, the word he used for Donald Trump is righteous man. I can show you clips of the video. He calls Donald Trump a righteous man. That God chose him the first time for his righteousness sake. And that God said to him that I will give him another term. He gave some conditions. And I told him, I said, did you notice? Later was what I said this. That didn't say he went the next. He chose his words. He said, this is what the Lord told me. That I will give him another. Now, this was when Donald Trump was running. That was 4 years ago. Which election he finally lost. People say, the prophet spoke. He didn't come to pass. Let's leave that for now. Where I'm going is that he kept on saying, this man is a righteous man. And even me, even though I believe that prophet, I said, oh God, this is not a good description for the man at hand. I'm not saying he's a bad man, but you want to know the truth? Don't even judge that matter. You know why? You don't know why God chose that word, righteous. But I'll give you one. I'll just give you one. There's one particular celebrity, I can't remember his name now, I saw him being interviewed. He said, look, now, he used to be a Democrat, he supports Donald Trump now. Why? What is his reason? He said, think about it very well. You may not like this about it, but check it. He said, the only president he has seen that made campaign promises and sat down to effect all of them. As some of them are very politically incorrect, but he promised, he said, I will do it. They showed clips of videos of different, about five presidents before him campaigning, promising heaven and earth that they will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, please, I don't care really, personally. It's a God, I don't care. All right? So don't think I'm going to this Jewish thing. I don't do that. All right? I do Christ. All right? Good. But I saw Bill Clinton. I saw George Bush. I saw Barack Obama. And I think another person campaigned. I think the two Bushes with this thing. None of them did it. Donald Trump said, I will do it. He sat down after a few months. He got up. He said, this has the capital. The whole world, you were set everywhere on fire. Did he care? He didn't care. You know what happened? Nothing. At the end of the day, nothing happened. The man said, look, he doesn't believe America should be teaching some things abroad. Day one, as soon as he sat down and said, stop. You may not like him, but where I'm going, please, I'm not defending him personally. I'm trying to tell you, when God picks righteousness in people, at least we have seen it, there's no, including the ones who profess they go to church, like that joker that only went to church for image laundering. None of them that I'm aware of will stand up to openly defend the church. There was one guy that used to do it. He didn't really care. Do you know our president then went to see him in America? He told him straight. He said, I heard you are persecuting Christians. Why? Normal diplomacy, you don't say things like that. Just a demand of you. Why are you killing Christians? What did they do you? Can we? The man had to be defended. He said, no, I'm not doing anything like that. He said, no, but information I'm getting. Then in Turkey, one pastor was arrested, put on under house arrest for 2 years. Because they wanted to use him to negotiate to collect the Turkish rebel, Gulen, from America. They went and told Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, is that so? He called the Turkish prime minister, president. He said, please send my guy home. He said, look, let's not turn this into a fight. You know what? He said it openly. He said, if that guy is not home by so and so time, I'm going to attack your economy. I will crash your currency. Because of one pastor. One. Now, I'm not telling you what I imagine. He said it openly. He threatened it openly. They quickly packaged the guy and sent him home. One girl was wrongly accused of blasphemy, sent her to death in Pakistan. Donald Trump looked at them like, is everybody there? Okay. You know, they packaged this girl and sent her to America. So, you may not like the fact that he slept with one, whether he did or not, I don't know, with one I shared with those days. You understand? Yeah. And they said they paid, he didn't pay money. One guy said, look, this is the most investigated man America has ever seen. So that's, in fact, the same person said, that's why I'm supporting him. Now, why am I telling the story? Eh? Why God calls somebody righteous? This prophet will call this man righteous man. Even me, I would like, oh God, tone it down. Just say God has chosen him as next. He says he's a righteous man. And you saw the video of one prophet who said that he saw the shooting 3 months ahead of time. Said the guy is going to be shot. He's going to be shot in the ear. I saw the video. Now, I won't say more than that for now. All right? But where I'm going is this. So God called a man righteous, like David in the Bible. You want to know why? If your name is, what's the name of that boy that went and married Michael? You don't know his name. He's not a popular name. He's not a known guy, not an important human being. David ran away. Saul gave David's wife to somebody else, and that one married. David said, okay, I'm coming. Shebi, this throne, you will know there is God that said I will be king. The moment he became king, he said, where's my wife? They said, did that guy house? I said, go and bring the girl. They carried the woman. They just ignored the guy. You know what? The guy was crying. They carried his wife, was following behind. Now, if you are that guy, are you going to call him a righteous man? That guy prayed all the days of his life that David would die by fire. I know how David didn't die by fire. But God said, this is a man who will do what? Do all that I instruct. Many times in life, people are going from one prayer meeting to another. I see people a lot of times, you know, joining all kinds of prayers. Pray. They are not obeying any instruction concerning their life now. They're not. They are praying day and night and fasting and knocking. When I see Christians pray sometimes, please let me go there small. This is our prayer habit as Pentecostals. It's no good. How can you be talking to God and be shaking your head like you are threatening him? God, do it. Oh, do it. If you don't do it now, because okay, if I do, what will happen? You have to learn to kneel and make humble requests. That's a small aside. Let me not go there now. There's no need to go and read your Bible. Nobody got any result from God the way we pray now. Read your Bible. Why do we suddenly know something nobody else knows? Have you noticed? We suddenly know something nobody else knows. David saved the whole generation by just saying, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. If it's us that they say should pray for Ishmael. Ishmael, you shall know that. God said, I don't hear you. No go die. Thank you. No, we have not finished praying. How can you just answer us after 5 minutes? How will we testify? We can't testify like that. The Lord is good. You see, we're joining prayer up and down, shaking their head. God said, look, what have I commanded you to do, this boy? Where you walk, stop being dishonest. Because that's the only commandment. And let me tell you another thing about commandments. If you disobey that commandment, God will close the door of understanding. You will know nothing again. Read the Bible from now till tomorrow. You will know nothing. Oh, you think understanding is intellectual rigor? It's not. Understanding is a gift of God. See, let me beg you. In this life, you must never be stubborn. Don't let stubbornness be part of you. Because if God gives you one instruction, See, my children, you know, in the family, morning prayer, we've been looking at for some time. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Labor to enter the rest. Let me beg you. Labor to enter rest. What do I mean by rest? Rest is the place where God wants you to be as a result of obedience. That is what rest is. So you should strive. Do you know why? If you are out of that place, you don't know how ignorant you will become. I told you that in the last few years, I have been growing too. I did learn. One of the things I have learned these days is that scripture. I said a part of it, now I talk about life is a gift. He said, the things that we see do not come out of the things that are visible. That thing has become clearer to me than ever before. I have seen now there are predictions I will make. I will be so wrong. You know, the Holy Spirit will say back, you know why you are wrong? It's because the things that you see do not come out of the things that are visible. You were speaking according to the things that were visible. If I spoke according to revelation, I'm hardly wrong. But once I do political analysis, economic analysis, business analysis, currency analysis, do you know what I found out? I'm wrong 9 times out of 10, and I didn't learn. Tomorrow I'll still do it again. No, though I've learned now. You see what I'm talking about that? So a few days ago, I became afraid of being deceived. Pastor Dami was reviewing stuff for us yesterday, he talked about deception at length. That if you are deceived, you don't even know you are deceived. You think you know what you are doing. Derek Prince says, the worst thing God can do to people as judgment is to send them a delusion. See, when God wants to punish people, Jesus is Lord. You know, this is, I feel sorry for, you know, Elon Musk said my son died. This one didn't die. The boy just converted to being a girl. And this young man hates billionaires. Yes. He said he hates billionaires. Meanwhile, his father is officially the richest man in the world. And the young man says, I hate billionaires. He said, I'm not a boy. I'm a girl. He's about 22 or so. He now transitioned, said he's not a girl. You know, I'm not angry with people like that. I pity them. It's delusion. That's what happens when God gives you over to delusion. Why am I talking about it? If God says, do this, you don't do it. Your spiritual progress stops there. Your ability to understand scripture stops there. I know the painful part is not usually a hard thing. There's a way God does something. It's like, school. You cannot finish 100 level. Then you fail 200 level. And so let me just continue at 300 level. Do you follow my point? God doesn't do that. Life doesn't do that. So God doesn't do it too. You must say, okay, now, where are you? There's what they call prerequisites. So you fail all the prerequisites. And I said, I actually had a student tell my colleague once, he did our subject, he had failed it so many times. He said, can you just wave it for me so I can continue? I said, yeah. Because he had failed so many times. And the school couldn't withdraw him for certain reasons. All right? Let me not go into that. So he said, he now went and met my colleague who's the both head of the department and coordinator. That, can you wave it for me? He said, how do we wave pathology for you to come and do pediatrics? Who does that? We wave pathology for you want to go and do surgery. Nobody does it now. If you don't, this is foundation. It's like, where is the bishop? He's building a house. And the landlord says, the owner of the house says, there's no money for foundation. Just start the... Just do German floor and put the block up. Before you reach there, we'll look for money. And do foundation. Nobody does that. That's how it is with the Lord also. If we decide that, look, if we obey one thing, everybody is stuck there. If the Lord ever moves you forward from that place, you will never, no matter how hard you try, reach your destiny. Many people, it's one instruction that takes them off the path of destiny. Just one instruction. So that's why you must pray that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And let me say it again. That one instruction is usually not hard. It's just that we tend to trivialize it. Like I give an example. You just tell me one young man, in that your office, I'm putting in the accounts department. You have only one, look, Miss Church, I won't worry you. But one naira must not miss in that book. And you will not cover up for anybody. Because sometimes you are not the one stealing. You are the cover-up master. And God says, I'm waiting. Now, you know the painful part? For many people, he will wait 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Now, he doesn't wait forever. Maybe in the fourth year, he now decides that it is now concluded that you will never obey this matter. He will now transfer you from there. They move you from accounts to personnel. And then from personnel, you become a director of personnel. From there, you become one big man. But you don't know your destiny has been destroyed permanently. God looks at that man and says, okay, how many children does he have? Yeah, give me his first son. Let's start again. Because each lineage, I've found out that thing, all right? There is something, let me put it like that, that God wants to collect. So you can't collect from that man. Say, okay, keep him there. So the angel says, how long is he going to live? Say, until the last son gets into university. So let him keep on working. Let him keep on earning. Let these boys go to school, right? Let them go to church. The moment that guy finishes his first year, remove him. Then he falls sick for one stupid sickness, one silly sickness like this. And he goes to take one drug, and he reacts to the drug. They rush him to hospital, and he's dead. What's wrong with this country? People just be dying anyhow. Because this one died 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And all of this is because he's basically good in other areas of life. If he was bad in other areas of life, Allah give him a useless job to do. But let's leave him this way. Why? Because I gave him one simple instruction, not two, one. In this area of life, purify everything. And the man said, and this is the painful part. Do you know he didn't steal money? He was just a cover-up man. He was the one that covered up for his bosses. You know, because he doesn't want to get sacked. He doesn't want to be fired. They want to be like the bad person in the office. God says, listen, I have given you one job. Let me tell you something again. He said, labor to enter into the rest. Sometimes easy things can be hard to do. God said, I understand. Labor to do it. What does it mean to labor to do it? Go and pray. Tell your matter to your seniors. Let them join hands with you. But don't give your eye rest until you have obeyed that thing. Because each moment in life, there's only one instruction. We're talking about ministry earlier. There are people that God said, look, I've called you to ministry. Okay? You heard Banky talking earlier. You thought he was joking. Okay, now, everybody was laughing, but you know he was not joking. Now start telling stories. God, you know I married just last year. My wife's father, they didn't expect that she would suffer like this. If I carry her to the name of that our village, it's not going to be a problem. They will not, you know what? God doesn't fight. First year, he waits. Second year, he waits. So, now, emphasis does not wait forever. Let me drop this again. We'll keep on saying it. You can't bribe him. Some people like to now bribe. Like I said, you now go and join Pastor Okemute. Only they will play drum, sing, play guitar, clean the hall, carry his bag, tie to the church, and tie to the man of God. And the pastor will like you because I know. To get manpower, you think it's easy? Ask everybody here that employs staff. In fact, he will bless you. It will take God to wake him up at night and say, before I scatter your church, better remove that guy. What people are trying to pay. No, that's a lot of people are working hard, eh? It's conscience killing. It's conscience. They just want to kill the conscience. His brother is diligent, he's faithful. Because, him? He doesn't do what I say. My soul will have no pleasure in him. If it's everybody, all workers, please arrive by 7:30. The guy is there by 7 o'clock. Say, Pastor, I just want to be sure that the place is open. In case it's raining, let me put an umbrella for people who are coming. And you know you'll be loving him. Say, man, if I cannot get three people like this in this church, we'll take over this country. Why? He just wants to silence the voice of the Holy Spirit. I told the story that Pastor Corey told us about the guy who used to give in his church heavily. Said that guy alone will give her, if all the offering in the church are 20 naira, only him give 10 naira. He said to me, the first time we're able to plan, we knew his money was coming. He said, but every time he gave, I'm unsettled. Every time he will give, I'll be unsettled. So one day I went out. Now listen to this. The pastor went to pray. Before confronting the man, he went to pray. He prayed for strength. So one day told the brother, please, can you see me after church? It was night. Two of them stood in one place. Say, bro, God bless you. You have been a blessing to us. Say, but let me be honest with you. Every time you give, I'm unsettled. Tell me what is going on. That's when the guy said, I have given around many churches. I've been praying for one pastor to confront me like this. He said, sir, we steal the money. Let me not sit on top. I've told the story a number of times. He said, we steal the money. Now, let me tell you, when he said labor to enter into rest, don't think, see, the only way that guy had to escape that thing was to resign that job. Yeah. He went broke. Look, listen. Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to stumble, what do you say? Pluck it out. If your right eye causes you to stumble, what do you do? Cut it off. He wasn't joking. People want to give him something and then everything will be okay. When they finished analyzing the situation, Father said, you know they can't come. He said, I know. He just needed strength to do what he knew was right. The only way was to go and resign and say, I know they walk again. From a man who used to give heavily, he became a man that the church needed to support. Ah, yes. But do you know what? He became a strong pillar in the house of God. Yeah. God said, look, I didn't call you to be. Isn't everybody that God called to be carrying money up and down? It's not everybody. This life, everybody has an assignment. Don't use money to try and sell the money answer it to all things. Don't take things out of context. What they mean by money asset all things is that when you go for a party to organize it, money will pay for equipment, it will pay for food, it will pay for drink. It does not fulfill the will of God for everybody. What it means is that when it comes to food, there's nothing we want to eat that we cannot buy. That is the meaning of money asset all things. Not that you go and commit crime, you want to use money to bail yourself. God said, don't worry. You were done the plan for. 3 years. That's why you know you go to Port Harcourt, judiciary will go on strike. You know, under one governor that time, Judiciary didn't work in River State for how many months? Your money will be useless that time. Listen, each time in life you have one word. And let me say it again. The commandments are not burdensome. Be honest at work. Is that a burden? Like Enegin said, he was ministering to pastors. And the Holy Spirit said to him, two of your guys will be dead before next year. Yes. They had pastors meeting. And both of them were in their 40s, early 40s. So when he said it, he said, come next year. Two people who are here today will not be here next year. As soon as he said it, he identified the two of them, this guy and this guy. And the Holy Spirit said to him, they don't have to die. So he called the first one. And that one came and saw him. And he gave him the word of the Lord. And he said, well, let me just explain. Nobody knows who I'm talking about, so I can tell you. That's what he said. I'm just quoting the way he said it. He says, a married man, he had eyes for other women. And the Lord said that he either stops or he dies that year. Remember, was it Ananias that opposed Jeremiah? Jeremiah said to him, Jeremiah said 70 years, you'll be here. That one said 2 years, you'll be delivered. Ah. Jeremiah said, may the Lord do what that guy has said. To me, say, if I want deliverance in 2 years. As he was leaving, God said, go back and tell him that he has instigated rebellion against the Lord, so that year he will die. And when I said, Lord said, you are going to die. And that year, Ananias died. The man died. So this one, he said, he told him that if he doesn't change, he will die this year. But you know what happened? He changed. And next year, he was back. The following year, he was back. And he lived. Since I was telling that story, the guy was alive. And this happened years before. But the other guy, he told him that, see me. That one said, yes, sir. He didn't go. So that people will remind him, say, Reverend said you should see him. Have you seen him? No. His wife said, Oga say, daddy said you should see him. Have you seen him? No. And I don't think I'm going to bother. They woke up one morning, he collapsed, he became unconscious. They rushed him to hospital. They went and called the same daddy. And they gathered with everybody, began to pray. They prayed. He said as he was praying, he realized that the prayer was not coming forth. So he stopped. Say, Holy Spirit, what is going on? You're not helping. He said, no, I'm not. He said, why not? He said, he's going to die. Did you not tell him to see you? Did he see you? No, he's going to die. So the man led Thanksgiving. Let's give the Lord thanks. They give the Lord thanks. They all went home. And the guy died. The other story of the man, he said that just sit down and listen to this word for one service. The man refused. So if you just listen, not even do it, just listen, he will leave. He did not listen. As soon as he left, there was a prophet. He told the next pastor, said, the pastor from whose church I'm coming will die on Sunday next week on the pulpit. Next Sunday, the guy came to the pulpit to not serve, never begin, just take announcement. There he collapsed and he died. Each season in your life, there's just one word from God. What's my message today? Don't play with it. Please, there's something I said last week. Let me just remind us of it. Don't worry, I've closed my devices. We are going home now. Those of us who are traveling now. Okay? I just need to say this. Just to remind us. Please, people of God, don't fall for the traps of Satan. And don't fall for the traps of the world. What are those traps? Rationalizing away disobedience. Excusing disobedience. It's the way he talks to me now. If he doesn't talk like that, I will respect him. And it's your husband we are talking about. You know, in this country, if you don't do like that, you can't make ends meet. And the honesty we are talking about, bribery and corruption. I've told you, look for excuses to do what is right. Excuses will help you. It will persuade you. Now, can I beg to use the word deceive? Deceive yourself into doing what is right. Lie to yourself in quote. What I mean is that, let's say your husband we're talking about. Tell yourself that if I honor him, he will buy me a jet. You know the guy doesn't have money to buy jet. Do you know what they call jet? But just find a way to, don't rationalize away disobedience. Don't excuse disobedience. Find the reason to do what is right. That's what I mean. Just do something. Just tell yourself one story. It's called labor to enter into rest. Why? Many people are stagnated. For one thing. One of the things I want Christians to understand is that there is always a recompense for disobedience. You can't go around disobeying. There's recompense. Bow down your heads. Let me just stop preaching there. We'll talk about the other things next time. I don't know what they are going to say. Just... Just respond to the word that you have heard today.